I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hello, and welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Could you use some help setting boundaries in your life? Well, we've got the doctor in the house today. Dr. Henry Cloud joins Joyce, Aaron Cluley, and me to discuss the importance of healthy boundaries and to offer practical help in making them work for you. So grab a notebook and a Bible and get ready for a great discussion.
So Dr. Cloud wrote the book Boundaries with Dr. John Townsend. He's a psychologist, an author, a leadership consultant, written 45 books, 20 million books sold. You have a new book out called Why I Believe.
Yeah.
Dr. Cloud is a psychologist, if you don't know him, so he's going to psychoanalyze me here on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just very happy to have you, especially here talking to us about kind of your keystone thing, which is boundaries and how important they are in all of our lives. So can we set up the need for boundaries? I have so many things going through my head of the need for boundaries.
Yeah.
But what would you describe as the main reason that boundaries are so vital?
Oh, that's like saying you want water, air, or food. You know, it's hard to boil down to one. But basically, a boundary is a property line. And so it defines where you are and where you end and someone else begins. Mm-hmm. And the simplest illustration of a boundary is the first one we know in life, and that's your skin. So your skin boundary is kind of the fence, right? Mm-hmm. And what does it do? It keeps the bad stuff out. You know, if you pour infected something on you, it's going to bounce off unless you don't have a boundary there and you got a cut and then it gets in.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the good stuff in. You know, you don't want your liver falling out.
Nobody wants that.
That's embarrassing.
So that's what a boundary is. It's you and your life. What are you going to allow into your life?
Yeah.
I mean, we open our mouth to let good things in, sometimes too much, but we can close it, you know, to not let bad stuff in, and you can open it to let the bad stuff out. So the Bible and all of psychology tells us that it's very important to have clear boundaries so we know what we're letting into our life. There's bad stuff in us we got to get out through confession and grief and all that, but we need to be in control of that. And boundaries, you said the most important reason, one of them is, just like Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. God wanted human freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be free to say no to me if I want to do something that you don't want to do or it's not good for you. And you should be free to say yes. But in human relationships, we start to control each other.
Right.
You know, step over the fence.
Yep.
What does the Bible call that? It's a trespass.
Yeah.
So
that's why
before I ever
help.
Wrote the book Boundaries, I was in a situation where I was being controlled by the person that I worked for. And I didn't really realize that's what it was for about 4 years. And then when I realized it, I got really mad at that person. And God spoke to me and he said, "It's not. Don't be mad at him. You let him do it."
Yeah.
And so that was the first inclination I had about boundaries is, you know, people will take advantage of you if you don't have a boundary and let them know that they can't.
And you said something so important because boundaries are ultimately about self-control.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And it's interesting because you started out, you know, you said that person was controlling me. Well, that was your experience until you realized, wait a minute, I'm in control. I could say no to this.
Right.
I could walk. I could call the police. There's a lot of things I could do. Now, certainly a lot of people are so, you know, there's horrible situations where their freedom's been taken away and we need to get help. But most of the time, we are not executing the freedom that God has wired. And, you know, people feel guilty if they do it. There's a lot of fears and stuff we have to work through.
Well, for a lot of people, I think it's very hard to say no.
It is hard to say.
I went through that for a period of time, even in ministry. It was like people would call and say, well, God really spoke to our heart that you're supposed to do our conference. Well, you start throwing the God word around.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Well,
yeah, that's
maybe,
just spiritual manipulation.
Yeah, maybe I better do it. And then I thought, well, God may have told you, but he didn't told me. So until he does, I'm not coming.
Tell him
and
to call me.
I found out that I had to say no or I was not going to survive.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, it's so interesting. I'll give you a great verse on this. In 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is talking about giving. And certainly it's in the context of money, but it applies to all of giving. And it's so powerful. He says in that one little verse, give as you have purposed in your heart, as you've chosen to. And then he gives two warnings, not begrudgingly mm-hmm. or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. So begrudgingly is when somebody pressures you from the outside
yeah.
and
yeah.
you give in. You're not giving, you give in, but then you are holding a grudge against it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the external pressure, which everybody gets. But there's internal pressure
yeah.
under compulsion.
Yeah.
That's where, well, I should say yes because
yeah.
I'm not being a good Christian if I say no.
Right.
So we have internal restrictions on our freedom and we have external forces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where self-control
yeah.
is needed to be developed.
And
that's
when
a fruit of the Spirit.
When people do that to you, what my experience has been is then I start to resent them.
That's right. That's the begrudging. That's right.
I resent them because they're so-called making me do things I don't want to do.
They make me do it.
But
right.
they're really not making me.
That's right.
I'm just too much of a coward to say no.
Yeah. Well, it puts so much stress in our lives.
Yeah.
Because we either have the fears that you were talking about or false guilt, all the reasons that we think we can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then the things that we allow people to do that hurt us, that if we can set a boundary, we'll stop that. And there's just so much stress involved in people's lives that some healthy, godly boundaries can
That's
help
right.
with.
Yeah.
And the Bible is just replete with so many commandments for us to have these boundaries. And yet, sometimes Christians have learned half the Bible. They learn the loving side.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed
yeah,
to be patient
right.
and forbearing and forgiving and all this. But they don't learn the, and you're to speak the truth, and you're to confront somebody, and you're not to enable
right.
that. And those go together.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just get
over. Well, I'd like to ask you a question to have you answer because I know that many people watching may be realizing for the first time through this, somebody is controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been in a controlling relationship for a period of time and you decide I'm going to start setting boundaries, there is no possibility the other person's not going to get angry.
That's right.
So how does somebody get out of that bad cycle into a healthy one?
Well, the first thing, make sure you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have been controlled by people
yeah.
Who really are master manipulators, and they're actually what the Bible refers to as evil.
Mm-hmm.
They have destruction in their hearts. I mean, they don't mind hurting you. In fact, they might even like it. And it also, you know, Proverbs tells us there's another category people call the fools. Mockers, and they don't like to be confronted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it says, don't confront a mocker, lest you'll incur insults upon yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is, make sure you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you know, we have domestic violence situations. Last thing you want to do is go set a boundary in a dangerous situation. What the boundary you need to set is, call a shelter,
mm-hmm.
or call your pastor, or go get somewhere safe.
Yeah.
Now, that's the extreme situations. It goes from there to, first of all, it's really important for you to get in touch before God. You know, the Bible says we get the log out of our own eye first. And I would like for them, just sit down and sit down with somebody you trust and just take an audit of what is this costing you?
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to have good motivation to go through some of these conflicts it might, you know, entail. And you start looking at that and you start realizing the pain you're suffering and all of that. But there's two other big things. One is the realization that it's not helping.
Yeah.
The way you've been people pleasing is not turning this person into, you know, Prince Charming or something.
Right.
And so to continue to do the same thing expecting different results is crazy. So let's wave the white flag on. I've been trying to love them out of this or give to them, and, you know, their entitlement and all that. That's not working. And then also what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big one is there are so many situations where when you finally do this, there are people, it turns them around. Mm-hmm. They've never had anybody say no to them.
Right.
And they begin to experience the consequences of what they're doing. And consequences for some people are only the only thing that makes them turn around. And so all of that, I would say, if you're in a tough situation, don't do it alone. Go talk to somebody first. If it's serious, go talk to a good counselor. Go to a boundaries group. Go to a codependency group. Get support, because boundaries are never set from a vacuum. We have to be standing on firm ground and have the support that we need to be able to do this. And you're probably going to need some coaching. So don't do it alone.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if we are at a point of woundedness, we might set some boundaries that are not healthy. We need to make sure that we are doing it with health, with help to do it in a healthy way.
Right.
Yeah.
And a safe way. I think that's so important.
And remember, boundaries are not, it's not, I don't set boundaries on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I set boundaries on myself.
Yeah.
So I can say, you know, if you're on heroin or something.
Yes.
And
we've been talking to her about that.
Well, it's good you're here.
Yeah. In fact, this is an intervention. We didn't tell you.
Wow.
Yeah. We've gathered here
thank
today.
Thank you for coming.
No, thank you. Say,
you know, or, you know, you're with an alcoholic or whatever it is, or a rageaholic or whatever. You say, you know what, I've talked to you about this, talked to you about your drinking, and, you know, it hadn't helped. So I'm not gonna really do that anymore. And I can't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can do that.
Yeah.
But what I can do is I can stop myself from being exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, the family's decided if you want to continue to drink, you can. We want you to stop. We want you to get some help and get treatment. But if you choose not to, then we're going to choose to not be around you until you do. So it's really your choice.
Sure.
But see, I can set boundaries on my exposure to bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control another person.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you can call the cops and the law steps in. But boundaries are about what I allow myself to be engaged with and what I don't.
That feels like a hard thing to do, especially as people in the church. I'll speak for myself. It feels like I am not acting, like you said earlier, out of God's love when I'm telling somebody I cannot help you anymore with your situation. It feels like that goes against what I'm taught to love people and be there for them and be generous with my time.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? How do you know when you've gone too far with overextending yourself or not setting a healthy boundary?
Well, the very first test is, what is my giving producing?
Mm-hmm.
What's my giving in the service of?
Do you have joy in what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it making you miserable?
Sure. And do I feel obligated?
Right.
That's part of it. And is it helping them?
Mm-hmm.
If you're bailing somebody, you know, we need to give to people in need and all that. But if somebody's irresponsible and they're not willing to get a job or they're not willing to deal with their issues, or I will give you, but what's it in the service of? It's only in the service of you continuing to stay stuck or addicted or irresponsible or not doing what you need to do, then my investment is getting a return. Investments get returns.
Yeah.
What I'm getting for the return is more addiction.
Right.
And so
that's good.
That's kind of the first realization. We have to ask, what's it in the service of? Secondly, though, so sometimes they're asking you for good things, right? The Bible is very clear. And I don't know if y'all notice this. We're not God.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a bummer.
It's so true, yeah. And I'm yep, not right? very good at realizing that yeah. sometimes. I think but I need to control them. Things, yes. right?
That's right.
That's good, yeah. Dr. Cloud.
Nor are we the entire body of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it says very specifically mm-hmm. in a number of ways, a number of places, you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do some good things, to give to some things, give your time, give your energy and all of that. For good works that have been laid down before you so that you might walk in them. But every need out there is not your good work.
Right.
Yeah.
That belongs to God and somebody else.
Yeah.
Romans 12 says, do not think more highly of yourself than mm-hmm. you are.
Right. Yeah.
There are certain things we're called to. You have certain gifts. You don't have other gifts.
Yeah.
And so we got to be clear before God, back to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, what is it? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, one something 9
says. 8 Corinthians yep. 9.
One of those
it'll
books.
It'll be good to look it up.
What you've purposed in your heart.
Yeah.
Now, here's a good thing for people to do. Get a piece of paper. You're talking about love here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not loving if I don't give to you. Draw a line that's a continuous line in every relationship.
Okay.
That line, it's unbroken, and it goes infinitely in both directions. Call that line love. Mm-hmm. My love for you never wavers, ever. There's another line underneath it that's a dotted line or dashes with spaces. Mm. Call that what I will do for you. Mm. Sometimes, yeah, I'll do that, but no, I won't do that. I still love you.
Yeah.
My love has never disappeared, sure. but what I'll agree to do and not do, that's always a dotted line.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes I need to do something else. Sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah.
And so we have to make sure we'll never equate will I do this or that with mm-hmm. do I love you or not. Otherwise, God wouldn't be loving. He says no to us all the time.
That's such a great visual.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do it with each relationship.
Yeah.
You know, with your kids, yeah, I'll bring the food in, but you're going to make your sandwich.
You can yes. come over, but you're cleaning up the mess.
Yeah, I like it. That's good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dr. Cloud was counseling me earlier about my dog. I also have boundary issues with Axel. Oh.
This sounds really deep.
It was actually really helpful because he told me I'm the problem, which is not a surprise. But even things like that in my life, I didn't realize how important boundaries are and that it is me in that situation that needs to shift. It's not, I can't put that upon the dog. That's silly, that's little, but it still was really important yeah. for me.
I see, I'm really into dog training, and I go on walks. I see people, you know, their dogs are taking them for a walk.
Yep.
Right? The mm-hmm. dog is in control of them.
Yep.
And why? Because they're trying to control the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want your dog to have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn that through boundaries, that if I do this, my life is good. If I do that, I go to dog purgatory, yeah. right? And I don't want to live there. They are in control.
Yeah.
I have a dog problem. I've tried about 8 times, and I cannot make them mind because I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
You need a boundary, Dr.
Yes, you can get in my bed.
Oh, yeah.
You know something I think it's important for us to say here? I think when, depending on the situation, but if you've been letting somebody control you for a long time and you decide you have to break that pattern, there is a possibility that they may no longer want to be in your life.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, and I think that's important for people. You have to be at that reality. I know,
yeah.
just a quick example, I had a group of friends at a church that I went to and we were just like, you know, but this one girl, if you didn't do everything she wanted to do, she got upset. So I fell into that pattern of just keeping her happy because I wanted to be part
yeah,
of this group.
Easy to do.
Well, when God called me to preach, those were the first people that no longer wanted anything to do with me.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they told me that I shouldn't be doing that, and because I didn't listen to them and do what they wanted me to do, I preferred to do what God wanted me to do. Then, I mean, we lost friends. We got asked to leave our church. You know, it was a real eye-opener that, mm-hmm. you know, you let people control you, and when you get tired of it, you have to realize that confronting them may turn them around, and hopefully it will.
Yeah.
That's right.
But sometimes you have to be willing to say, I can live without that.
That Joyce, you just hit something that's so important because, you know, humans, we're wired for relationship, mm-hmm. and we need people, and we need these relationships.
God, and we want people to like us.
And we want, yeah. and He's meant for us to live in close community. And so the fear of rejection and abandonment is what drives so many people. And that's why I said, don't do this in a vacuum, okay? Mm-hmm. What you got to do first is you had your own tribe that was with you in where you were going, right? First, you knew some people were on your team. Then you can go from there to saying what you got to say. And like the rich young ruler, you know, when Jesus set the boundary, he walked away. Mm-hmm. The guy left him.
Yeah. Right. He chose and not to.
That's right. But he had somebody to go home to. He had his father. And he had, as he said, when they said, you know, your mother, brother, sisters, he goes, who are those? But who's my family? Those who do the will of God. So you got to be grounded with supportive people before you ever think about boundaries.
You know, you also mentioned what Scripture says, you know, that the truth will set you free, that freedom is such a big part of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a relationship that I really cared about, you know, that was important to me. And at some point, I just had to draw a boundary and was hoping that things would work out, and it did not go well. Yeah. And lost that relationship. And I'll tell you, like you said, it hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mourned that relationship being gone. But in time, and it did take time, just felt a weight lifted.
Right.
While I missed that relationship, there was a weight lifted of some of the pressure of the unhealthy aspects that were a part of that relationship. And in time, you begin to realize that some of the pain is the only way to heal from the things that just are not right.
That's right. And Jesus said, you know, clearly he said, I'm going to divide people.
Yeah.
He said, there will be households that split up because of me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And righteousness does that. When somebody says, you know, we're going to live in a sober house, you're welcome to live here, but anybody's not won't be living here. Those are, you know, Paul says, if somebody's not willing to work, don't let them eat. These can bug people.
Yeah, to say the
That's
least.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
I always say if people want to hear yes, they're never happy if they hear no. Mm-hmm.
That's right. John Townsend and I wrote a book called Safe People, and there's a whole list of things about, you know, the kind of safe people we need in our lives. And one of the questions you always have to ask and talk about in relationships, do you love my no as much as you love my yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, that's the value of them seeing you as a separate person who's free. You're not a slave.
Right.
Love can only exist in freedom. And if I'm manipulating somebody into loving me, I might get the cookie I'm trying to get, but I'm not getting love.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I'm not even going to be fulfilled by that.